Welcome to An Examined Education, a podcast recorded at the Cambridge School, a Christian classical school in San Diego, California, where we examine an education worth pursuing. On today's episode, you'll hear a conversation that Jeff and I had with some alumni from our first two graduating classes. Although, truth be told, I kind of take over the interview as I fall into some familiar conversational patterns with some of my favorite people who I've taught for the last 7 years. It's a great group of students who offer unique perspectives on the Cambridge experience. We talk about their favorite memories, including some embarrassing recollections involving a misguided chaperone and an emergency exit in Italy. And they all speculate about the next stage of their lives as they head off to college. It's a great, informal conversation that I'm sure you'll enjoy. For more information about the school or anything you hear in this episode, check out the show notes, interact with us on social media at An Examined Education, and check out our website, cambridgeclassical.org. And with that, I give you our host, Jeff Yoder.
I could not be more excited for the people that we have on our show today. We have a number of alumni with us, and can't wait to hear about their experiences. So without further ado, would you be willing to introduce yourselves? Just go right down the line, one by one. Tell us who you are.
Hello, I'm Samuel Gingrich from the class of 2019, and I'm headed to UC Berkeley on Tuesday.
I'm Jasmine Rapani from the class of 2019, and I'll be headed to Gordon College this fall.
My name is Josh Kim. I'm the OG from the class of 2018, and I'm going to the University of Chicago, where I'll be a second year in the fall.
Great. We're so excited to have you three here. Two of you are heading off for your first year of college in less than a week. Are you excited?
Yes, very excited.
Excited, but very nervous.
Yeah. And then one of you, you're here for another like 3 months or something.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I don't start school until October.
We can't just let OG go by unexplained.
I was hoping not to engage him.
Let's do this.
So what do you mean by OG?
I am the original Griffin.
Nice.
Well, that explains it all.
Done.
Josh Kim, whose mother was the founder and head of school, who hopefully you heard our conversation with her in the last episode. Josh has been here from first grade?
Yep. First grade.
And graduated, he was part of our first graduating class along with how many other students?
With six other students.
Six other students, small graduating class. I first met Josh when he was a lowly seventh grader. Is lowly a fine adjective?
Yeah. No.
He was part of that lead class that I taught when they started in the logic stage. I've known Sam since he was in sixth grade. I had the pleasure of teaching him literature and composition to him and the rest of his classmates. How big was your graduating class?
It was 12 people.
12 people. And how long have you been here?
I've been here since kindergarten.
Kindergarten. So you were the first and so far only graduate to make his way all the way from kindergarten through 12th grade.
Yeah, that's right.
So in terms of original Griffins...
I came first.
Josh graduated first.
Yeah. Josh did graduate first. We were all happy to see him go. That's great. and then part of the class of 2019 is Jasmine, who I met your first year that you came here. What grade did you come?
I came in ninth grade.
That's right. So you got to enjoy all of the rhetoric stage.
Yes.
But won't claim for yourself an original Griffin.
No, I'm still a Griffin, though, so it's
excellent.
All okay.
That's right. Well, thank you all for being here. We were hoping to give our listeners just some insight into the student experience, talking about your time here, especially having a couple of you that have been here for such a long time, but also interested in the transfer process that Jasmine went through, and then talking about your future as well, thinking about how Cambridge may have prepared you for what is coming.
That's great. I was just thinking, for being a co-host, you talk much more than the host does.
Yeah, sorry about that. But I think I'm just...
No, please, go on.
Oh, man.
So, back to our alumni.
Maybe.
Poor Mr. Yoder.
I think what's happening is I'm finding myself, despite the fact that I'm behind a microphone right now, mm-hmm. I'm finding myself in familiar territory with my students in front of me.
I appreciate that because you have a much longer storied history with these three than I do. I mean, I just interrupt your class.
And that's the thing, is maybe this is just payback for all of the many, many times that you have interrupted our class.
That's right.
While we were trying to get the serious
Were they unwelcomed interruptions, alumni?
Only sometimes.
No. Always
we
welcome.
We really Thank appreciate you. It when Samuel's you actually interrupt his class.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
I don't think we're keeping any of this. I'm just kidding. We're keeping all of it. Jeffrey, I'm going to pass it over to my host and remain silent for the rest of the episode.
How has your summer been so far?
Yeah, the summer's been great. I've spent most of my time in Japan, and I just came back a week ago, and I'm, you know, gathering things up. I've already been back to school twice now since I've been back, just to see people and to stay involved.
That's great. Sam, what have you been up to this summer?
I've been working and trying to make the most of the time I have left in San Diego. Just going to the beach and eating lots of tacos and other Mexican food.
Nice.
Yeah, my summer's been super exciting too. Kind of like Sam, having been away in Chicago for a year, I miss home. And so Mexican food and the beach are definitely top to-do lists or to-do activities. Are my favorite things to do.
All of that.
Top priority.
Yes. I'm also working right now. I work for a biotech company here in San Diego. It's a biotech startup. And I do competitive intelligence and commercial assessment for them, which has been a pretty exciting job. I feel like I've learned a lot through it, for sure. And it's been kind of neat to see that, like, even though I have not a lot of technical background in this field of, like, biotechnology, that I can still kind of keep up with all these really cool, smart people.
One of the things that we hold dearly to as educators at the Cambridge School is kind of like rightly training up the affections. So you should be able to recognize excellence when you see it. And so how would you all rate the process of this podcast thus far?
Oh, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10?
10 out of 10. Yeah. I would rate Jeff a 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then...
And you may be a four and a half.
4.5 out of 10. Okay. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So not unlike your senior thesis grade.
Oh, you're just salty that I gave you a 4 out of 10.
Well, that leads to a great question. Maybe what's your favorite Mr. Goodweiler story?
We don't need to talk about that. I did travel with all of you around the world, so I'm sure there's some great stories that we could talk about there. We went to Italy together. We've gone to D.C. together. We've had a lot of moments together. Any moments kind of stick out? As particularly memorable or formative from your time at Cambridge?
I think the time that you and I kayaked in Catalina together, I think it was a real bonding experience. I remember being one of the few kayaks that didn't tip over when we were going in.
That's right.
And so,
yeah, what was that, eighth grade?
Eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Yeah.
Went to Catalina Island. It was kind of a joint trip with you all and the seventh graders. In fact, Sam was a part of that trip as well.
Yes.
Yeah, that did not... My experience in the kayak with you was much more successful than my experience in the kayak with Nick.
Yes, I remember.
Where we fell over frequently, mm-hmm. on purpose, I think, on this part. Yeah, yeah, Catalina was great. You want to talk a little bit about why we were in Catalina? And just maybe like some of these like field trips, these moments, why we incorporate those into the curriculum?
Yeah, I think we were in Catalina for, was it like marine biology, I think? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I think is really great. I think a lot of the Cambridge education includes a lot of super immersive experiences. Kind of being in the environment that you are studying brings the education to life, I feel like, in a way that you don't get by just being in the classroom. So whether it's Catalina or Italy or DC, you get to see a lot of the subjects that we study, not just things like biology, but also things like rhetoric in DC and a lot of the history that we learn as well in Italy. You get to see all those things kind of come to life. And it's kind of neat to see how your education is not something merely theoretical. It's a very practical thing, too.
Yeah, that's great. Sam, what's your favorite moment?
Immediately what came to mind is we were in Italy, and in a typical Goodweiler fashion, you were explaining something, probably like the musculature of the David or something, because we were in that museum. And you were backing up as you were talking to all of us, and then you saw an exit door, and we were ready to go. So you just leaned on the door and exited. And it was an emergency exit, and the alarms went off very loudly, and we all laughed at you, and then you just committed. You went outside, but it was a glass door, and none of us went, obviously, but we could just see
obvious.
You.
You should have probably followed your mentor, but
maybe,
that's fine.
Yeah, but we could all see you. Just looking very sad that you
emergency exit. Yeah. I make one mistake in my life.
That's what I remember the most.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's the kind of embodied experience that we want our students to participate in, is being able to...
Like not reading signs.
Shame their teacher.
I don't know if there was a sign, to be fair, but...
Yeah, there was a big red handle.
Yeah.
I thought maybe in Italy, red meant open this door. Yeah. Jasmine, do you have anything more productive and kind?
Yeah, more kind for sure. Okay. Yeah, one of the things that I was thinking of is just like how well that we get to know our teachers, being such a small class and having one teacher teach so many subjects for over 4 years. And so when I was working on my senior thesis, which is about which had to do with cosmetics and rhetoric and all those things, we'd like. You and I would like constantly be picking up on things. We're like, oh, we could add this to your thesis. Oh, we could add this to your thesis. And so like during class, we're like talking about the book Reading Lolita in Tehran. And you were just going through some passages. And I was like, oh my gosh, that'd be perfect for my thesis. And I was like writing passages down. And then like later you're coming up and you're like, oh, I also have this. And like everything just sort of like fit with each other and like aligned. And it was just like really interesting to like have someone who like knew what I was thinking about that well to be able to just like, oh, we're talking about something, realize that I'm thinking about the same thing and then get to talk about it after. And so, yeah.
So after hearing all of that, clearly you have a great relationship with your teachers. How does their knowledge of you play a part in your education here at the Cambridge School?
So the teachers who are memorable to me are the teachers who know me well and like we can have a conversation, whether it be about school or transition into something else. And the reason that's been like so important in like my education is that if they were to just like give us knowledge and like just straight up, like I could get that from anywhere. I could get that from a computer. I could get that from a book. But having it be so personal, it's like not just teaching you the information, but like how to use that information and how to just like think well and like just be human really and like use that information to like converse with other people and then talk about this, talk about that.
Yeah, I guess to add on, like having that relationship with the teachers, I think is the foundation for what I think Cambridge is like really good at, which is I think the character formation. Like in addition to providing like a great education that teaches you to think critically, I think the biggest thing that Cambridge offers is that it's great at giving you good character too. And I think having a good relationship with your teachers is not only great, but it's like an essential part to that character development. And so I think being able to have close relationships with people of upstanding character is really not only like a great example, but kind of a great way to, you know, yourself kind of learn and emulate from people who are a little bit farther along in life than you, and who can give you and offer you some like good wisdom along the way.
Yeah. And can give you an occasion to reflect on the perils of walking through emergency exit doors at museums in Italy.
That's now part of my character and having experienced that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
You were going to say something.
Yeah, if I could go back to the academic side of it, I think having a teacher who knows your interests can give you material, extra material to read that it really interests you and excites your love for learning. Because if you didn't have a teacher who knew your interests and knew what your passions were academically, then you wouldn't get those extra materials. And that's really the only way a student is going to grow academically.
You all have talked about these kind of embodied experiences, whether it was Catalina or DC, which is our junior year trip, or Italy, which was our senior year trip together. Since Sam and Josh, you've both been here from the grammar stage, talk to me a little bit about what those experiences look like, even at a young age, and maybe some of the unique things that we do here from the earliest ages.
The first thing that comes to mind is the feast days. If we're talking about embodied learning, I think that's a perfect example. We get the parents get together and create like a sort of reenactment of the historical era that we're studying that year in the grammar school. So we go through ancient Near Eastern history all the way to American history in the first through sixth grade, and each year we have like different feast days. They're really exciting. The medieval one was the one that I remember the most. And in that one, we each became like a character from medieval history. We had costumes. We ate a feast. And then we had catapult competitions. And those memories really stay with me. The characters that I researched stay with me. And so it really helps put into perspective like the history and all that.
Is that where we roast the pig?
Yeah, the medieval one is where we roast the pig. Started by Mr. Velasquez, who was a former classmate of mine's dad. He, a fireman, he and a hunter, he brought in a full pig. Like, I don't know what a full pig means, a whole pig. roasted it on the open fire for, like, got there at, like, 4 in the morning or whatever.
Yeah, it's delicious. The whole campus smells like bacon.
Mm-hmm. And amazing.
I remember the first time that I ran into that particular feast day, Josh, I had just finished working through Lord of the Flies with the 7th grade class, and then we walked down the stairs to go see what the students were doing with this feast day, and we just see a pig's head on a platter, and it maybe it was a little bit too scary given the recent literary context that we had engaged in.
Yeah, but talk about bringing the education to life.
That's right. Yeah. I hope not. Josh, what were some of your experiences that you remember? And maybe, too, you could talk about the transition from that kind of embodied experience and what you're doing in the grammar stage to logic.
Yeah. I mean, kind of like Sam, the feast days are definitely some of the most memorable memories I have from grammar school. But I think in addition, I actually remember a lot of the memory work that we did. Like we used to memorize really long history songs or chants, grammar jingles, things like that, to help us remember just basic facts, I think. And I think, like, I definitely remember doing a lot of that. It was something that we would present every Friday, a new memory piece that we had learned the week before. And I think it was definitely a neat experience. It was one that I didn't really understand, I think, until I got to the logic stage. I think having had to do a lot of memory work, you get better at memorizing things. And I think not only did that give you a good factual basis on which to kind of build later knowledge and things like that, but it also helped when you had to, you know, memorize things later on too. So I think that skill of memory was definitely something that I remember a lot from grammar school. And it was kind of neat. I remember at the end of my senior year, right before things finished up, our class took a tour of the grammar school, and every classroom we went to, we were asked to kind of sing along with a song that that current class was singing. And I remember that I was still able to follow along and sing all the songs from, you know, first grade, second grade, third grade, and on, which is kind of neat because it's been a long time since then. So I think, yeah, building those skills of memory was definitely something that I remember very distinctly from my grammar school days.
How long is that history song at the end of, is it sixth grade? That is like, it's like at least half an hour, maybe 45
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, if you sing all the songs, yeah, from like first grade on, it's probably about half an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of one of the students from your class, Jasmine and Sam, class of 2019, who, as everybody was struggling with various anxieties before they were going to present their senior thesis, she kind of clenched her fists and said, "This is what we've been training for." And she looked back to Mrs. Kim telling them all that memory work and kind of performing these things in front of a large audience every Friday would eventually prepare them for a much easier senior thesis presentation. So even at that late stage in your Cambridge education, it kind of came back. Jasmine, can you talk about your experience coming to the Cambridge School? And obviously, you didn't have the kind of Cambridge experience that these guys did, but you came in at the rhetoric stage, and you came from a classical school,
yes.
Is that right? Talk to us a little bit about coming into the rhetoric stage, how that was for you, what you enjoyed late in your career here.
Yeah, so I was the only transfer my freshman year from eighth grade onward, so I really felt like alone in this process. But everyone came alongside me really quickly, even before I was, I think, actually enrolled at the school. A girl from my class came and met with me, and we had lunch, and meeting Mr. Kapuscinski, our principal, and Mr. Goodwiler and Mr. Sansonetti, like all of these teachers before even like truly starting the process at the school, was such a comfort to me. I remember I'd visited another school like right before we visited Cambridge, but immediately after leaving, I was like, "Mom, Dad, like, I want to go here." A lot of people say like, "Oh, you know, college is the first time you have like a choice in your education." But I was like thinking about like coming to Cambridge, I was like, no, I think I chose this. Like, I feel like I chose this. And every day I felt like I had chosen it again, because every day I decided, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to be here. I want to, you know, be with these people, these classmates, do this work. And so the transition at first was a little bit difficult. I was behind on a couple subjects like Latin, and my writing and reading skills were, I felt like far from my classmates' level. But even with Latin, like before basketball practice, that same girl who had lunch with me when I first visited Cambridge, she would sit down and do the work with me. And that continued through my Latin experience. Somebody would always come alongside me until we had a new student in 10th grade, and I was able to help her a little bit with Latin as well. And so that experience, I think, is like pretty unique, especially since we take all of our classes together. Like, so even though it is challenging, it always felt manageable. And at first it was also hard because, you know, my classmates, some of them had, like Samuel, have been here since kindergarten. And so like they have a long history together. They have all these songs memorized and they're singing along. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. but realizing that I had a different perspective to offer as well, like being as a transfer, was really helpful. Knowing that, and seeing that happen with somebody else too, seeing another girl come in 10th grade and be like, oh, we are all just bringing something different, was really great. And so I'm really happy that I came to Cambridge and had the experience I've had.
So being a unique school, we offer a number of unique classes. And I was wondering if you could each speak to a couple of those classes that you've had and how they've shaped who you are.
I think rhetoric was a class that will forever stick with me. And I think rhetoric will always be one of my favorite things. I've lived abroad for most of my life and I've had a lot of different perspectives constantly around me, being from a multiracial family, growing up abroad, coming back to the States. And these experiences shape you, but having somebody like sit down and talk about how to integrate these perspectives and how you should integrate perspectives from a wide variety of places, like in rhetoric, one of the biggest takeaways that we always talked about was like the empathy that rhetoric teaches you, like to see things through another lens. And so like hearing that on top of already having the experiences that I've had has really like integrated that to the point where like I'm more comfortable like having such a wide variety of perspectives. I think before it's like just kind of daunting, like you feel sort of like pulled apart in so many different ways. Like I have this part of my identity and this part of my identity, but just understanding like, oh, I just have all these different things that and different people and different cultures that have spoken into my life that I can just put on a different lens. And ultimately like I'm better for it because then I can understand other people better. And then learning like that I don't necessarily need to always experience these things firsthand, but that I have like the tools of literature and reading and just talking to other people. And so I can like actively seek out these circumstances in which I can gain different perspectives without always just having to wait for my circumstances to change. I can just ask someone, like, what was your experience like? Or I can read and get to know all these different personal things about people that I wouldn't have known otherwise. And so, yeah, rhetoric has definitely been such a huge part of my life. And I'm so glad that I was at a school that taught that and had teachers who taught that well.
The neuroscience class that we have in our senior years, I think, really unique and really important. A lot of other schools and public schools, the senior year, if you're challenging yourself, you'll take more APs or whatever. But if you're not, then you just won't have as many classes because you've already taken the biology, chemistry, physics. But at our school, we have a course that ties all of those together. And I think it's really interesting. And it brings in a lot of like the forefront of research, scientific research, and where the scientific community is going. And it's a really interesting class. And it also, we also introduce ethics in that class. And so it's like a good way to tie all of the curriculum together, where we talk about ethics and we talk about all the different scientific principles we learn from chemistry in the brain and then biology in the brain, and as well as physics in the neurons themselves, the different potentials, the membrane potentials, and all of that come together in this neuroscience class.
Guys, I know you won't believe this, but one of your colleagues has shown up late. We are joined presently and tardily by Anna Claire Splitsdozer, who is another member of the class of 2019 and is actually the student that Jasmine was mentioning, who was a transfer student here in 10th grade. So we're going to get her behind a mic and hear what she has to say. Hey, Anna Claire.
Hi.
You're late.
Sorry.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time.
Welcome, Anna Claire. It's good to see you.
Hi. Is this a part of the podcast?
Yep.
This is it. You got it.
Rapid fire. Anna Claire, it's Cambridge. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Both thumbs.
Both thumbs up. Tell me why.
Well, so I came to the school when I was in 10th grade. And despite transferring in at such a late age, I think the amount of transformation that happened to me over the course of 3 years is what leads me to say two thumbs up, because despite only being here for 3 years, it feels like more of my life has happened in those 3 years than the rest of the 15 years of my existence before that. So good things, not bad things.
Tease that out a little bit for us. Is that in the classroom, out of the classroom, combination?
Definitely both. I think it would be very misleading to say that formation only happens within the classroom, because the relationships that you have in a community for school that certainly expand outside of that community. So they affect who you hang out with, who you spend time with, the things that you do on the weekend and the sports that you play and the activities that you participate in, like speech and debate, or in my case, that's speech and debate. So that starts to bleed into all the other parts of your life. And that's what truly is so important about schooling and making sure that you have a good school. And I think I've had that.
We were just talking about the unique curriculum here at the Cambridge School. How have you interacted with some of these classes that you've taken? You have any memorable classes, memorable moments, experiences?
I think it might be sort of cliche to say that rhetoric and ethics were two of my favorite classes that I took here, but it's because they're such unique classes to take that not many people get to take elsewhere, that when you say that you're taking those classes in high school to people that you meet that aren't a part of our school, they're very interested in wanting to know about what those things are. And I think the reason that I valued rhetoric and ethics so much is that it gave me so many different kind of lenses, is the language that we've come to use, to view the world through and to understand various other parts of my education and different classes that I take. So those were definitely some of my favorite classes. Also, they were taught by you, so those were cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forced you to say that. That was good. Yeah. There's nothing
else. You held up a cue card.
You're
right?
Already yeah. graduated. I can't do anything else for you.
Your grade anymore.
Josh, you've been here, as you said, from the beginning. OG. What do you think?
Yeah, I like all the classes that have already been mentioned. I think another one that I think has been really unique is logic, which we take in 7th and 8th grade. It's not a class that you would traditionally take, I feel like, but having taken it now, I feel like it's so fundamental to sound thinking that I'm really glad that we do teach it here at Cambridge. And I think like a lot of the classes at Cambridge, while some of the classes we teach may seem a little bit niche, I really think that they're very important to how you think overall. And so subjects like rhetoric, ethics, and logic teach you how to create comprehensive and coherent thoughts in a way that you wouldn't be able to without those subjects.
We believe very strongly, and we build up a curriculum really intentionally around being a Christian classical school. I'm wondering if any of you have any thoughts on what it means to belong to a community that takes both the Christian and the classical part of our educational model very seriously.
I think it means being really thoughtful about our faith. Having been to college and back now for a year, I think it's not uncommon that you will find a lot of believers of a lot of different faiths who just believe what they do because they've been told to believe it. And then when questioned about it, they don't really have a good response to it, and they start to recognize that their understanding of their faith is pretty limited. And I think where Cambridge students are very different is that not only are they firm believers, but they're also very thoughtful believers with regards to their faith. I think because they have an education where they are taught to think critically about things like religion, they end up with very thoughtful answers and thoughtful beliefs when it comes to things like what they believe. And I'll say that that's really important, especially once you get beyond the Cambridge community.
I think on the subject of it creating thoughtful students, one of the most important parts of how that comes about is like having a core curriculum in place. So the fact that you don't get to choose a lot of your classes until later in high school, where you have a few electives that you get to choose from. I've talked to a lot of people who think that that's really disappointing and that they think that kids should have more freedom in high school to choose their classes. But one of the things that I think is so valuable about the core curriculum is that, especially when it comes to Christian principles and ideas and history, you start to interact with people on a day-to-day level that have learned about all of those things. So it leads to a level of conversation that's really, really deep, because you're both coming at it from this place where you have the ability to be thoughtful because you've all taken the same kind of classes. So I think that that's something super unique and valuable about coming to a place that has those required classes that lead to really fascinating and wonderful conversations.
I think another huge part of it is just the community that we are a part of, a community that says, for God alone be the glory. I know, like, especially during high school, like, it can be a really, like, anxiety-inducing time of your life. You know, you're worried about school, you're worried about your relationship with your friends, you have a lot of insecurities, and then you're worried about going to college. And so to have a community that has, like, given me the freedom to say, like, it's okay to, like, not have this, like, very particular path, or, like, to go to this school or that school, and has just said, like, you know, God has a plan for your life, and as long as you're doing it well and doing it for Him, then it's going to be okay. I think specifically of our college counselor, Mrs. Priest. I know, like, I never once with her felt worried about college. I always felt like, you know, somebody was there saying, God has a plan for you, and you're going to do your best, and whatever the outcome is, like, that's that, and that's what He wants for you. And so, like, approaching all of these classes, even though, like, we have a very rigorous academic curriculum, it's something that I approach, like, with a lot of freedom. And I think that also allows you to get a better educational experience. If you're not, like, if you're constantly, like, anxious about all of these outcomes of things, you're not going to experience your education in the moment and really absorb what's offered to you. So, you know, taking the extra time to be reading a book and, like, stop in a passage and, like, really think about that and be like, oh yeah, I really care about this thing and I want to talk about that in school tomorrow. And maybe some of my math homework doesn't get done 100%, but, you know, I've had these other things, like, I have all these freedoms. It's just been a really amazing experience. And I hope that, you know, what's been offered to me in terms of the constant reminders of the freedom that I have in Christ, like, in specifically in my education, is something that, you know, I can share with people in college too.
Yeah, and I think another really important part of the Christian aspect of the school is something we've already talked about, which is our relationships with our teachers. The teachers that we have, the faculty and Mr. Kapuzinski and my mom, Mrs. Gingrich, they're all intentionally chosen to, you know, be really good mentors to all of us students. And I think that's the most important part of it. Like, the Bible teaches, like, what we should do and how we should live our life, but it really takes these personal examples of moral character, Christian discipleship, to really train up, like, true Christian disciples. Some of the most important memories that I'll take away from school are from our Friday assemblies, where we would have some of the teachers, whoever could make it, would come in, and we would discuss a certain ethical topic, a certain part of our lives that is tricky as Christians, and then we would talk about it and how to live that out as Christians. And I think that's what some of the most formative parts of the Christian education at Cambridge.
Yeah, that's great. And we'll definitely talk more in the future with a bunch of different people from the school about what that looks like here and how we think about that really intentionally. A couple of you kind of mentioned this future orientation that, you know, Jasmine, you're hoping to kind of bring this into your college experience. And Sam, you've tackled tricky ethical issues in this community so that you might kind of go out into the next. I'm curious to hear from the three students who just graduated and are heading off to college. Do you feel as if you are prepared? And then we'll find out from Josh, who's been off to college for a year now, if your feelings are correct. Sam, how do you feel? You feel ready for Berkeley in the fall?
Yeah, it's hard to say, but I guess as much as I know, I feel very intellectually prepared and prepared in my faith to live a Christian life at Berkeley.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different for Anna Claire and I. We're both going to Christian schools. Is Whitworth a Christian school? Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. I think it's a little bit different for both Anna Claire and I. We're both headed to Christian schools in the fall, but I think even especially like going to a Christian school, I think it could be even easier to like stray away from the faith, especially being around people like and having like required chapel and all of these things where it just feels like, you know, like religion like suddenly becomes a sort of like feeling thing, and you're with a lot of other young believers who, you know, maybe aren't, like Josh was saying, like super well thought out in their faith. And like that to me seems a little bit scarier because you could, because it still like looks like Christianity from the outside, and then you could get involved in something that, you know, that where there like are some discrepancies, like issues and stuff like that. But I feel like prepared to like stay strong in my faith because of what I've learned at Cambridge, because we've gone through systematic theology, apologetics, and I've, as Sam was saying, like seeing all of these other mature believers in our lives, like in our teachers, and our parents, like having that community, I feel more than prepared to enter college.
I would second definitely both of what Jasmine and Sam have said, but I think definitely even in the areas that I might not feel prepared, it would come down to like, okay, actually having these conversations and being gracious and charitable, as Jasmine was saying, especially with other Christians who think very differently from me, and coming at that from the perspective of we are both Christian and now we have to tackle this issue that we disagree upon. But I think even in all of that, even where there are certain moments where I might feel unprepared as I think about some of those future conversations, I'm very grateful that I have a community of people that I know I could instantly call up and have advice from, these wise mentors who have really invested in my life, and teachers who have taught apologetics classes and church history and have just been there and know you and know how you're going to best handle that situation to advise you through some of those difficult conversations, especially as it relates to your faith. And I think to have something so special like that with your teacher, with somebody who knew you in high school, to be able to have that kind of relationship is really unique. And I'm very much looking forward to it, even if some of those phone calls are challenging and painful in the moment.
So speaking of students who have reached out to teachers.
What?
Josh, 1 year down at the University of Chicago, you've experienced Chicago winters, you've experienced lake effect snow and traffic. Have you enjoyed the subway system?
Yes.
Yes, you have.
I feel like a real like urban native now.
Okay, excellent. Yes. Can you dash the confidence of your fellow Cambridge people here? What do you say? 1 year in, has Cambridge prepared you?
Yeah, kind of like Sam said, I think there are two areas in which like you can be prepared for college. I think one is like on an intellectual level, and the second one is kind of like a personal slash faith level. And I think Cambridge has prepared me well on both of those levels, really. On an intellectual level, for sure. I know that, I mean, not to brag, but University of Chicago is a hard school with a lot of smart people. But I don't feel like I'm behind a lot of these people. Like a lot of my friends at University of Chicago went to top schools around the country. And even though they did go to those top schools and they are incredibly smart, I feel like that we as Cambridge students, not even just me, that the entire Cambridge student body is no less prepared than all of those kids, intellectually speaking. I think our ability to think like across disciplines, and our ability to think really deeply about subjects, and ask the right kinds of questions. Those are all things that I think that we have on the same level, if not at a higher level, than many of the friends that I have at school. So I think it definitely prepared on an intellectual level. On a faith level, I think similarly so. I mean, kind of as I mentioned, I feel like that I have a better understanding of who I am as a person and what I believe in terms of faith than a lot of my friends do. And that, I think, has really been helpful. I've honestly, like, sooner than I thought, I ended up having a lot of these conversations with friends in college, actually, about things like faith and where I stand on certain issues. And I think it was exactly because I had been in an environment before where I had been asked these difficult questions and had to think about my answers to them, that I was able to provide a good response. And I think not only provide a good response, but also kind of represent I think who I am well and kind of what I stand for well. So I think where like a lot of times some of my Christian friends may just, you know, believe what they do and perhaps not represent their faith as well as they probably could. And I think can give Christians a bad stereotype sometimes. Like, I feel like that a lot of the times I was able to give a good reason for the things that I believe and do. And in doing so, I feel like not only did I kind of feel confident in what I believed, but also I think earned the respect of a lot of my friends for it. And I think that was something that I really attribute to Cambridge, honestly.
That's great. Thanks.
So we may have a number of listeners out there who are thinking about classical Christian education or specifically the Cambridge School. And I would love to hear your advice to them of whether they should pursue this type of education.
Cambridge is something you really have to see to believe, I think. I mean, we can talk about it all day long, but at the end of the day, you really have to come to Cambridge to really see what it's like. While we can describe classical education or Christian classical education in all of its glory, like there's something very intangible that comes with being in the community that you can't articulate in words, I think. So I would say, yeah, just come and check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Dive in and be enthused by everything that's a part of this wonderful model of education that's been curated by so many wise people for, you know, however long this has become a movement that's been renewed. I think diving in and really taking advantage of every single aspect of what can be presented to you will lead to a fuller and more in-depth experience, both of your mind, heart, and soul, and maybe your body if you have a really rigorous PE coach like some of us had, than you ever would have thought. And yeah, again, like Josh said, sometimes you just kind of have to see it to believe it and come visit.
How did the school transfer the way we speak about it into you, and now you speak about it in a particular way?
Yeah, I think that habit of being able to talk about and encourage people to try classical Christian education and at least look into it came from the number of times that I got the joy of like being able to explain it to someone for the first time. I recently returned from a trip this past spring to Washington, D.C., where I met with a whole host of very interesting people. And I was speaking with a federal judge who was thinking about different forms of education for her very young daughter. And one of the things that I was able to talk to her about was the kind of school that I had gone to. And she was very interested because she said, "You seem so articulate, and I want to know where you got the ability to be articulate from." Me and my parents started to talk about the kind of school that I had come from. I think it's that kind of repeated interaction where I am so excited to share about what my school has done for me that I want other people to be able to go out and try it and see just how fabulous that kind of education can be for all parts of you. So I think that's where that ability came from, at least for me, is from the time I was 10, I was able to be like, okay, well, we have the grammar stage and the logic stage and the rhetoric stage and walk people through it. And so I hopefully got decent at it.
Great.
Yeah, I remember the first info night speech that I was asked to do in ninth grade, just for parents who were interested in the school. And I was so excited. I was like, yes, I finally get to talk about this. You know, I was pretty new to Cambridge still at the time. It was still my first year there. But like even after like half a year, I was like, okay, no, I'm ready to talk about this. Like, I want to share my experience. And I looked at a couple other students' info night speeches, and Mrs. Yoder had given me some pointers, but I was like, I looked at them and then I like put them all away. And then I was like, I'm just going to write what I think. And like, even like now, like I could have thought about like these things beforehand. Like I could have like, it sounds almost as if, yeah, like a couple of us have like referenced the marketing, but really it is just like genuinely how we feel about the school. Like my parents even are like, you know, they're like, "Where are you going today?" I was like, "Oh, I'm going to school." Like, they're like, "Again, like you're done there, you know?" And I'm like, they're like, "Oh, what are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, we're, you know, talking for this thing." They're like, "You still want to talk about it, even though, you know, it's over?" I'm like, "Yeah, I would keep coming back to tell people about it." So,
introducing our new co-host, Jasmine Rupani.
Right. I know.
Yeah. Kind of like Jasmine said, I think like that all the language that we use to describe Cambridge really comes from our experience of it. Like sometimes it sounds way too perfectly packaged and like nice sounding to be true, but it's honestly all true. I know it can sound otherwise, but really all the words that we're saying are like very genuine and come directly from our experiences at school. So I don't know. I say that to hedge against anybody who thinks that we're just being paid off by the marketing team.
And it's your like, checks are in the mail.
It's certainly not like a perfect education. I don't think that, I mean, as humans, like it's not really. Stop now. That's it.
No, shut it down.
They can't know. Yeah, it's certainly not a perfect education or a perfect environment. I mean, we're still high schoolers. There's still like teenage drama and all of that. But I think like there was nowhere else I'd rather experience that teenage drama. Like I wanted to be here. So.
Okay, the humanities teacher in me needs to know what your favorite reading was from your time here at Cambridge. So I'm going to go down the line and ask you. It could be a book. It could be a primary source text. It could be anything that you ran across. But why don't you tell us when it came up in the curriculum and maybe a quick word about why you enjoyed it. Sam?
Sure. Mine was John Milton's Paradise Lost, which we read in 10th grade. I find it very interesting because it really embodies the classical Christian education. It combines a lot of classical texts and mirrors Virgil's Aeneid, but it also deals with very complicated theological issues. And so I found it like very masterfully written and then also deeply personal, just in the way that it, because it goes over the fall of Satan first, and then how Satan tempts Adam and Eve into sin. And so it's personal in that way, but also very academically interesting.
Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five was a really powerful book for me. I think to read about like such a difficult and like vulgar experience, like that, obviously I've never gone through a war in my life, but to read about that in like a way that's so artful and so weird, like, you know, he talks about aliens and then he goes back to like the present and it like jumps back and forth in time. And it can be a difficult book to approach, but to approach it in such a safe setting where we were like, reading this work of literature that is hard in like the style that it's written in, it's hard in its content. To read about an experience that's so different from yours is such a significant experience in my mind, because, you know, this larger problem of human suffering is like important to experience, and to experience like something so distant from you and a suffering that's so much greater than you're necessarily familiar with, was just so powerful, like, and moving, like, you know, this is the closest I can get to understanding someone's experience. And so it was good in understanding that experience as well as like shaping what I thought about literature and just how powerful it can be.
My favorite reading was a secondary source that we read in 11th grade rhetoric, actually. It's called The Atom According to Disney. And I really liked it. I think for me, it really brought together a lot of these different avenues that Disney was kind of working with when they were starting. It was not only a cultural phenomenon, it was kind of an entrepreneurial phenomenon as well. And to see all these different avenues kind of brought together by an underlying understanding of rhetoric was really exciting to me. And for me, that's kind of when I felt like rhetoric really clicked for me at that point. And I just remember it was a very exciting experience.
I think one of my favorite books, and certainly one of the books that has had the most impact on me as an individual, was the book that we read in the summer before 11th grade, Longing to Know, A Philosophy of Knowledge for Ordinary People by Esther Meek. That book was extremely important to a lot of things that happened to me over the course of the next 2 years, both in my education and in my personal life, because not only were we reading a book about knowledge and how you come to know different things in your everyday life, but we were also working through the very idea of epistemology together as a group. And that became extremely important to me, both for in my day-to-day life. I had several existential crises about how I thought while reading that book, and then got to help my sister recently with her existential crises as she worked through it for her own summer reading. But that book ended up playing a pretty big role in how I thought about my senior thesis project on the intersection of classical education and technology in the classroom. And I think it'll continue to play an extremely large role in how I approach my college years and the way that I approach gathering knowledge and figuring out the subsidiary focal integration and all of the various things that she talks about in that book.
Great. Students, it has been a pleasure. Would we call it a pleasure?
It has been a pleasure. This has been amazing. Thank you so, so much for coming out and sharing your thoughts about the Cambridge School and your experience here.
And in the future, Jeff will be talking a lot more. Sorry, I took over. It's my last chance to have you all as a group before you head off here. So it's been a sweet time to have a bit of a reunion with you all before you head out. We will put in our show notes, we'll put a link to all of your favorite books in case you've, you know, motivated somebody to go out and check it out. Students, thank you so much. Good luck in your final preparations for college. I'm sure that this first year is going to go wonderfully. We appreciate your thoughts here today. And until next time, I'm DJ.
And I'm Jeff.
See you later. Thanks for listening to An Examined Education. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, be sure to check out our website, schedule a tour, reach out to the advancement office. We'd love to see you. And we'd love to hear what you have to say about the podcast. So be sure to check us out on your favorite social media platform. Again, that's at An Examined Education. Leave us a comment, rate and review, and we'll see you next time.